Chapter 1. Before the Gates of Dawn. Gardas, Lord Celestant of the Hallowed Knights, looked down at the bloated body at his feet, then at the patiner of sour bile clinging to his hammer. The Plague Warrior had fought bravely for being outmatched. He had hurled himself knowingly into death without hesitation or fear. Gardas wondered how such a debased creature could possess such courage. Then would I have done any less? He wondered. He swept his hammer out, dislodging the muck which clung to it, and banishing the thought in the same motion. Who are the victorious? He called out, raising hammer and Sigmarite rune blade. His voice boomed out across the clearing, reaching every ear. Some called him the Steel Soul, though he could not say where the name had come from. Regardless of its origins, his warrior chamber had taken the name for their own, and they bore it with honor. Only the faithful, his warriors roared in reply. Gardas gazed with no small amount of pride at those who had followed him into battle, as they raised their voices in triumph. Liberators, prosecutors, judicators, and retributors, all clad in star-forged sigmarite and bearing weapons crafted from the same material. Their panoply of war gleamed silver where it was not rich gold. Their shoulder guards were of deepest regal blue, such as the heavens themselves, as were their heavy shields. The weapons they carried shimmered with holy fire. They were all heroes, their valor proven in battles all but forgotten in the haze of their reforging. The Hallowed Knights were the fourth storm host to be founded, and the ranks of their warrior chambers were filled with the faithful of the mortal realms. Their only commonality was that each had called upon Sigmar's name in battle and been heard, and that each had shed his mortal flesh in the name of a righteous cause. Gardas himself could but dimly recall who he had been before he had been made anew in Sigmar's eternal forge. His old identity had been torn away by celestial lightning and replaced by something new and greater. The memories of that time surfaced only rarely, though he thought, he hoped, he was the same man he had been then, the same man whom Sigmar had deemed worthy to give a portion of his power to. Of the time before his reforging, he remembered only fear, battle, pain and blood, and finally the lightning which had brought him to Sigmaron amongst the stars. He could not truly recall the cause he had died for, or the names of those who had fought beside him in that final battle. But I remember you nonetheless, my friends, he thought. I remember your faces and how you died. I remember that we fought in Sigmar's name against the same evil I face today. I remember, and I will honor you the only way left to me, with sword and celestial fire. He lifted his rune blade and gazed at the sigils etched into its gleaming length. They seemed to glimmer with heat, the repressed fury of a storm. Sigmar himself had blessed the blade after Gardas had forged it. I will not fail you, he thought, though whether he was speaking to Sigmar or the faded ghost memories of half-forgotten comrades in arms, he could not say. He looked around, taking stock of the battlefield. What he saw was not pleasant. The churned mud was full of monsters, most dead, some dying, their vile flesh no longer regenerating as it had during the initial moments of battle, twisted shapes whose abominable features were mirrored in the very land itself. Sickened, he smashed aside a looming icon dedicated to the ruinous powers. There were hundreds stabbed into the earth throughout the clearing, and they caused his stomach to twist in an instinctual revulsion. A trace of the man he had been, he suspected. Everywhere Gardas looked, disease blossomed. The very air stank of it, and the nearby waters ran with pox. The ground was covered in a carpet of maggots, and other unrecognizable scavenger beasts, as well as a glistening putrescence. The sickly trees fed upon this rich loam of decaying matter, sprouting unnatural growths that resembled struggling insects or wailing faces. Thick creepers, covered in unhealthy-looking cilia, sought to strangle what little normal-looking plant life remained. Even the rocks were covered in pus-filled boils. Gardas was at once repelled and fascinated by it. He had never seen its like before. He looked around at the crumpled and fly-ridden bodies of the plague worshippers, and then at the idols, altar stones, and obelisks that they had been in the process of erecting when the steel souls had arrived. The enemy might have been defeated, but there were still his works to cast down. Every dark monument would be toppled or broken up by the time they were done here. But somehow, he knew that this place would never be entirely free of the contagion that afflicted it. Even so, that was no reason to tarry.
Pharos, how goes it?
He called out to his retributor prime. Called the Heavy Hand by some, Pharos had earned his rank at the Battle of the Celestine Glaciers, where a blow from his hammer had sheared loose the rim of one of the eponymous glaciers, sending the warriors of the ruinous powers tumbling into the icy depths. Like his fellow retributors, Pharos was the wrath of the heavens made brooding flesh. He smelled of lightning and rain, and his heavy ornate armor was marked with the lightning bolt of Sigmar.
The cleansing of this mire proceeds apace, steel soul. My warriors will soon have reduced every standing stone in this fen to dust,
Pharos rumbled, his two-handed lightning hammer slamming down on a monstrous effigy and reducing it to shards.
Good. Tegras,
Gardas said, calling out to another of his subordinates. The Prosecutor Prime dropped from the air a moment later to crouch before him with head bowed, wings edged in the purest gold with feathers of lightning snapped out and folded back behind him with a lingering crackle.
Speak, and I obey, Lord Celestant,
Tegras of the Sainted Eye said. His voice, slipping from the mouth slit of his silver mask, quavered in the air like the peal of bell. During the cleansing of Azir, it was Tegras who had scouted out the Chaos Warbands infesting the Nihiliad Mountains, raining blazing arrows down upon them in order to expose their positions to Sigmar's armies.
Take your prosecutors to the skies above the edges of the fen, and watch for any sign of the enemy. They're thick as fleas in this region, and I will be ready for them when they come. And make no mistake, they will come.
Perfect,
Tegras said, spreading his wings.
Makes it easier to crush them, if we don't have to go chasing after them first.
He took to the air a moment later, hurtling skyward, joined by his winged retinue. Such exuberance may be his undoing, a voice said. Gardas turned to see Solus, the Judicator Prime, striding towards him, one hand resting on the Storm Gladius sheathed on his hip and the bulky shape of his Boltstorm crossbow over one shoulder. Solus had no war name, and to his credit did not seem to desire one. He was the steadiest of Gardas's subordinates, with a cool mind and a calm hand, regardless of the situation. Only if you were not here to watch over us, Solus.
As you say, Lord Celestant. I and my adjudicators shall see to it that no enemy shall catch our warrior chamber unawares, Solus said. No allies either. More is the pity.
Gardas nodded, knowing who Solus referred to. They had come here to wage war, but also to rebuild an old alliance. Only the former was his concern, and by extension that of his men. Others were occupied searching for the mysterious queen of this realm. It was Gardas's task to ensure that they had good news to tell her when they found her.
Our purpose remains the same regardless. We cleanse this place and hold it until we are ordered to do otherwise. That is what Sigmar has asked of us, and that is what we shall do, Gardas said. Once Pharos has finished shattering these stones and we have taken control of the Realm Gate, Lord Castellant Grimm, Lord Relictor Morbus, and the others will be free to join us here. Perhaps once that occurs, the folk of the Jade Kingdoms,
human and otherwise, will rise to join us. Until then, we are to fight their battles for them and die on their behalf. Gardas turned to meet the gaze of his liberator Prime. Aetius, he replied.
I do not like this place,
Aetius Shieldborn said softly.
There is poison in the air, and the ground shudders like a sick animal.
Aetius was as brave as a griffhound, but forever casting a stern eye on his fellows and the world around him. He nodded tersely to Solus as the latter moved off to see to his task. That is why we are here, Gardas said gently. If we fail, this great forest realm might become a sour canker in the flesh of the Jade Kingdoms, a seeping malignance which no fire can cleanse and no magic can exorcise. He tapped Aetius's pauldron with his hammer. Much is demanded
of those to whom much has been given,
Aetius finished, bowing his head. He looked away and asked,
What of us, then, Lord Celestin? What is our task now that the enemy has been broken?
Watch for the foe while Pharos and his retributors finish seeing to these abominable stones. Help where you are needed. The quicker we are finished, the better. Whatever they sought to build here, we must utterly destroy Aetius, Gardas said.
Only then can we take the Gates of Dawn for ourselves.
And then the Lord Castellant and the rest of our brothers will be able to march forth from the Gates of Azir and join us here.
It will be done,
Aetius saluted crisply, raising his hammer to his brow. Then he turned and began to bellow orders. Stormcast Eternals hastened to obey. Gardas watched the other man go about his duties and shook his head. He knew the source of Aetius's irritation, or at least suspected he did. The Hallowed Knights had not been chosen for the spearhead. That honor had gone to the Hammers of Sigmar, as was fitting. Nonetheless, the waiting had been its own burden, and not just for his subordinates. The longer it had continued, the more uncertain Gardas had grown, wondering if their training and discipline would be enough for the conflicts to come. He had been reborn to battle, but it had been so long since he had last tested steel against steel and strength against strength anywhere other than the training fields of Sigmaron.
I wonder what Grimm would say if he knew, he thought.
Gardas had never known the Lord Castellant of the Steel Souls to show hesitation or doubt. The man was a rock, capable of weathering any storm. Of all those in their warrior chamber, he alone could match the Lord Celestant blow for blow. But he was not one to seek reassurance from. Neither could Gardas admit his concerns to his fellow Lord Celestants, as they readied their own warrior chambers for combat. Gardas had shared his uncertainties with only one other, Zevaclius, Lord Celestant of the Astral Templars. Gardas smiled as he thought of the other Stormcast commander. Zevaclius had been a big man, even before his reforging. After it, he had become a veritable giant, standing head and shoulders over Gardas. Clad in armor as dark as Gardas's was bright, Zevaclius had seen to the heart of the latter's uncertainties, speaking words of encouragement as they stood together, looking out at the stars in those final hours before he had been called to battle. And true to Zevaclius's assertions, his doubts were all but dispelled now. They had met the enemy, and they had been victorious. He recalled those first few moments after their arrival, his mind and body invigorated by the celestial lightning that had carried him from Azir, as well as the fierce joy that had surged within him as he saw the corrupted warriors charging towards him. The Hallowed Knights had fought like warriors born, executing his orders or countering unforeseen threats on their own with a skill far beyond that of any mortal servant of the Dark Gods. And now, the Gates of Dawn were theirs. Gardas turned and let his gaze ascend towards the arched realm gate, high up the stone steps that climbed the craggy hillside. It did not look as he imagined it. He had thought that such an artifact would be a massive portal, swirling with powerful energies, Instead, it was an innocuous ruin, covered in creeper vines and sagging slightly, like an old man bent by age. Was this truly a gateway to Akshi, the realm of fire? He shook his head. It didn't matter. He had been sent to claim it in Sigmar's name, and that was what he had done. From behind him came the sound of cracking stone and the shouts of his warriors at work. There was a friendly rivalry between the different hosts of his warrior chamber, seeking to outdo one another on and off the battlefield. Some of his peers frowned on such boisterousness outside of Sigmaron, but Gardas knew that laughter was like Sigmarite for the soul. And in any event, it's a celebration, he thought. Our first battle. Our first victory. He looked up, wondering if Sigmar was watching them. We will not fail you, my lord. A tall obelisk, larger than any three of his men, toppled over after a concentrated effort by Pharos and Aetius, eliciting cheers. As their voices rose, a new sound intruded. A droning hum that pierced the jubilant mood of the Stormcast Eternals and swept it away as it grew louder and louder. Men looked around, trying to find the source of the noise. Gardas, closer than the others to the Gates of Dawn, found it first and felt the taste of victory turn to ashes on his tongue. He felt a chill creep along his spine as he turned to look at the Realm Gate. His limbs felt leaden, and the air grew thick and close. A miasmic fog had risen up from the ground, clinging now to his legs and the edges of his war cloak. A vile stench filled his nose, and he gagged as the sound grew louder, spreading, becoming something else, something worse. Laughter.
Oh, no, my friends. This simply will not do. The game has barely begun, and already you celebrate victory. No, this will not do at all.
A hideous, phlegm-roughened voice chortled. It echoed from everywhere and nowhere, slithering across the minds and ears of every man present. It rose from the mud and pulsed from the festering vines that clung to everything. Gardas raised his hammer, and his men fell instantly into formation, shields raised, weapons ready. Something was coming, and they needed to be ready to meet it. He caught Ferris's eye, and the Retributor Prime nodded grimly. Tegras's prosecutors hovered overhead, their weapons ready, and Solus's judicators had formed up in their firing retinues just behind Aetius and the other liberators. Eyes sought his, and he stepped forward so all could see him. "Hold position," he said, hoping he sounded more confident than he felt. Whatever was coming, whatever had spoken, was unlike anything he had ever encountered before. Its words had squeezed his heart and nearly stripped his courage from him. If he'd been a normal man, he might have broken in that moment. But he was a Stormcast Eternal. Fear had no power over him. Above him, the Gates of Dawn began to shudder, shedding vegetation and dust as the ancient stones ground against one another. Something indefinable bubbled beyond the frame of the arch, and a stinking chill rippled through the suddenly cloying air.
Grouch was loyal and dutiful, and his blood serves as well or better than that of any puling slave,
the horrid burbling voice continued.
Blood is the key, and it has turned the lock. Knock, knock, little storm clouds. Let me in.
The black void eddied and frothed beyond the arch, like a ragged wound torn into the very air, and Gardas's ears echoed with the buzzing of innumerable flies as a chill rippled through the air. The gate began to shudder and twist, as if the very stones were in agony. And then, before Gardas's horrified eyes, two immense rotting hands reached out from within the arch. They caught either side of it, and within moments something abominable began to squeeze its impossible bulk through the gates of dawn. Broken, rotting fangs clashed in a bulbous jaw as the monstrous demon began to chortle with glee. The archway rocked alarmingly as the thing pried itself free and lurched through the realm gate. Those stormcast closest to the gate rushed forward, as if they might reach the summit in time, but falling rubble from the contorting gate smashed them aside. Those who avoided the debris were caught in the flood of acidic froth that spilled from the now warped gate. Gardas bellowed for the remainder to fall back.
Ah, greetings, whelps of a tiny god.
The greater demon of Nurgle, for such Gardas knew it must be, thundered cheerfully. It slapped its grossly distended belly and leaned forward on crooked legs.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Bolothrax. Your souls are mine.